just as I am without one plea. But thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched life, side rich is he, leaning of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, and cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me? Am I clear? Okay, thank you so much. All right, I invite you to pray. Please kneel if you can. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering your children this Holy Sabbath day to worship and praise your holy name. May we continue to feel your holy presence, the joy and peace you have promised for this delightful day, as we hear more of your holy words that will strengthen our faith. Please, Father, give us understanding heart to know your will and live with it. And we uplift to you all who are sick, physically and spiritually, and all the prayer requests of your children that you grant them if it is for your glory. Thank you for your spiritual blessings we receive from the children and adult study. And Father, please bridle my tongue as I speak on your behalf. And please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers, and for we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So our today is February 10, 2024. Our sermon title is Be Strong Christians. And those who are in the radio, WTPR, if you want to follow along, simply type into your browser the URL sdrmovement.org/note/serto1024.html. Yeah, that's today's date. Alright, so as Christians, we must never forget that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. So we have heard a lot of things or a lot of message about, you know, spiritual warfare like that. So, it's just another way to understand what's ahead of us and how to be equipped. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And at the same time, we must remember, all of us, that this battle, this fight we are on is for the Lord, not for us. In 1 Samuel 17:47, it says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord save not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." God will not save us through outward means and devices, like, for example, guns. We don't carry swords. We don't have armed soldiers. The Lord is the victory of wars. Remember that. The winners of conflicts. Varenik mentioned about the trumpets. It's really a very interesting topic. You know, we are now in the seventh trumpet, sounding of the seventh trumpet. God is our commander and king who leads the battle against our adversaries. Given that we are in the closing hour of this earth's history, there is not much time left to be indifferent, to be careless in our faith. And we must take this warning in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Yeah, we know that Satan's plan has always been, what? To persecute, to destroy God's church from the very beginning. And because he knows that his time is running out, he's also getting ready for his final attack against the obedient remnant, against us. That's why in Revelation 12:17 it says, we are so familiar with this text, "And the dragon was wroth with a woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Who is the target of Satan? Yeah. Satan's target is upon the obedient. So we must likewise equip ourselves to battle, to combat spiritually, to fight and to resist his attacks by wearing, of course, appropriate gear for the battle. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, 11, we are told, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is our gear. It's time to put on the armor of God, whole armor of God. So we need to be strong Christians. And what exactly is a strong Christian? How would you describe or characterize a strong Christian? Let's consider these verses. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Remember, there are different forms of persecutions. In distresses for Christ's sake. Why? For when I am weak, then am I strong. Did you hear that? So the moment we recognize our weakness and we depend entirely to God, to Christ, then we can become strong. It's a Christian. Psalms 27:1. Psalms 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And of whom shall I be afraid? Also in John chapter 15, verse 5, John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without Christ, we are nothing. That's why the word Christian, if you take out the last three letters, the I-A-N, it means what? If you remove Christ, it says, I am nothing. So these verses that we read proves that our strength in Christian life does not come from ourselves. Our strength comes from Jesus, because we are weak and we have nothing to boast of ourselves. And actually, even Satan, the enemy, has nothing to boast of in opposition to Christ. Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 30, he said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh. He's referring to Satan. Again, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So he's no match with Christ. He's defeated. He's a defeated foe already. So a strong Christian is measured by how much he or she trust on Jesus and imitate his perfect life, not how much he or she know about God or the theory of truth. It is not enough to know the truth. You must live by it and ultimately share it with others. Otherwise, you're going to be selfish. No, it's not. We should not be selfish. We have to share this truth to others. That's our duty. We must rely on Jesus, not just once a week. No? That's why there's a one-week Christian, once-a-week Christian. No. We have to rely on Jesus every day of our life. And there are two important things we must do. We have to submit and resist. These are the two things. James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So Christ gives strength to all who seek it. In Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 330, it says, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 330, Christ will give strength to all who seek it. No man without his own consent can be overcome by Satan. The tempter has no power to control the will or to force the soul to sin. He may distress, but he cannot contaminate. He can cause agony, but not defilement. Look at the reformers, a lot of martyrs, like John Huss. He was burned alive, but still sinning. No? He cannot consent to sin. So the fact that Christ has conquered should inspire his followers with courage to fight mindfully the battle against sin and Satan. So courage is one thing. Jesus has provided all we need to be strong. He has given us the Holy Spirit as our comforter to help us remember all the promises that Christ has made for us. Our mind is so, we have a short-term memory or what. Some people have a talent, they can retain a lot of information. But, without the Holy Spirit, this is meaning, we are so weak. So Jesus gives us strength to overcome sin. He gives us strength to resist Satan's attack and to remain pure amid this corrupt age. In Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See? We have a strength given by Christ to overcome sin. What else? In 1 John chapter 2, 13 to 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So, God gave us strength to overcome the enemy. He gave us strength to overcome sin. And in James chapter 1:27, says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Also in Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify him unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So God also provided us strength to remain pure from this corrupt world. In Review and Herald, June 11, 1901, it says, "If we are faithful in doing our part in cooperating with him, God will work through us to do the good pleasure of his will. But he cannot work through us if we make no effort." So work, faith and work is needed for strength. Okay? "If we gain eternal life, we must work and work earnestly." So a Christian is not a lazy person, but physically and spiritually. Let us not be deceived by the oft-repeated assertion, "All you have to do is to believe." See, all these evangelicals were saying, "Okay, you have just have to believe and you will be saved." No, it's not enough, because even the enemy believe. So faith and works are two oars which we must use equally if we would press our way up the stream against the current of unbelief. So he uses this example of what? Two oars if you are riding a boat. You know? Because if you will only use one oar like that, you will just go spinning, okay, left, spinning to right, or spinning to the left. You're just going around. You cannot go to the other side, to the port that you wanted to go. So we have to use the two hands, the two oars, equally against the current of what? Of unbelief. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That is in James 2:17. The Christian is a man of thought and practice. See? It's not only by mind, but also by deeds. His faith fixes its roots firmly in Christ. By faith and good works, he keeps his spirituality strong and healthy, and his spiritual strength increases as he strives to work the works of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, when we are faced with temptation, we are faced with care, discouragement, let us remember, let us look to where you last so the light with faith, because it will dispel the darkness that surrounds you. And when sin seems too strong to dominate your life and confuse your conscience, your mind, and when there's unbelief clouding your thoughts, what are we going to do? turn to our Savior, not to ourselves. Look to Him. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. His grace is sufficient to overcome sin, and He will pardon us and make us joyful in God. I have listed 5 ways we need to do by faith to be strong Christians, but this is not all. As our body needs physical food to be strong, our spiritual body needs spiritual food to gain strength. That's why number one, I listed here, you have to eat spiritual food. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Matthew 4:4, it says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." In Psalms 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." I think it's not in the notes, but you can add that. Psalms 34:8. So we cannot survive solely on nourishment for our bodies. We also require food for our spirits. How often do you eat spiritually? Every day, you feed your spirit by reading God's word, right? Not only every Sabbath. And you must plan your day around the word, rather than trying to fit the word into your hectic schedule. Of course, we have a work to do. We have a livelihood. It's a busy schedule. So, let's make God's word a priority in our life. It is not something you do in your free time. Okay, it's free time. I'm going to read my Bible or the Spirit of Prophecy, right? No, it's not. It should always be in your number one priority list. Okay? Yeah, Brother Dwayne posted Proverbs 3:5-7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Praise the Lord. Yes, we have to trust the Lord in all our plans. And He will what? Guide us. So we will not be what? Misled. Okay, number two. Another way to we're gonna do by faith to be strong is to build your faith. How are we gonna build our faith? Romans chapter 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." No? In 1 Corinthians 3:9-15, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, when we eat the words, the word of God, meaning we apply the solid truth in our life, and then we put it into exercise, then we gain spiritual muscle. And we are building our foundation upon Christ. God has given us tools we need to develop a very strong faith. He has promised strength if, this is conditional, if we seek it. And when we keep feeding ourselves with the spiritual food, when we repeatedly hearing the words of God as we study daily, and in our meditation, in our Sabbath study and sermons, and also in testimonies and other appointed agencies of God, well, we are building our faith in Christ. That's why it says we must be careful on how we build. We have to be careful what we watch, what we see, what we hear daily to make sure we are gaining strength and be strong Christian and then overcome the wicked and remain pure in this corrupt world. In Proverbs 18:21, this is the number three way to make us strong. Speak and think God's word. Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In Matthew chapter 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know our tongue? This is just a small part of the body. A small part, but it has a big impact for good or for bad, for evil. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, the strength of the Christian will manifest in his what? In his words and in his actions. In Luke 6:45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what is in the heart goes out to our mouth. So when we eat, when we hear the word of the Lord daily, we are building and strengthening our faith and applying the truth in our lives. And our words will always be what? Edifying, encouraging, and inspiring, and will naturally come out of you wherever and whatever situation you are in. No? You will be Christian everywhere. And every time. See, Jesus was the most courteous even with his enemies. But he do not flatter the sinner and compromise with sin. And we must imitate him. We must copy his example. So as a strong Christian, he will speak blessing, he will speak forgiveness, he will speak peace, healing, no matter what you are going through. A strong Christian will not please men. We are not a respecter of person. A strong Christian will not avoid his unpleasant duty to rebuke and reprove wrongs. And he will have courage to speak the truth even with the opposition. Even he's alone. A strong Christian is not ashamed to acknowledge his relation to Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, 32 to 33, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also deny, will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So, we have to speak God's word over and over again. We have to confess Jesus and his words in faith, and you and I will grow in faith and make our faith stronger. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Philippians 4 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," what he said? Think on these things. Also in Psalms 146 verse 2. 146 verse 2. "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." So, praising God must continually in our mouth. Whether your experience is good or it is bad. We have so countless blessings, right? So many. There's a song entitled "Count Your Blessing, Name Them One by One." But it's really hard to count them all. So many, countless blessings from God. And we have to thank Him for what He has done in our lives. So we have to praise Him. Praise is an act of faith. We cannot stop our lips. We cannot stop our mouth, our hearts in praising Him. And keep in mind, remember that, we have a book of record in heaven where all our testimonies are written. That's why in Malachi chapter 3:16, it says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. In Hebrews 10:25, this is important, especially we are approaching, you know, the last coming crisis. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So let's try to be present always in, you know, gatherings that we know. Let's don't neglect coming. Strong Christians know there is a connection between praise and spiritual strength. So we know that a spirit of praise puts you in whatever position and produces spiritual strength. That's why when we hear the testimonies, the praises, you know, it lifted our hearts, our spirit. Uplift us. You know, in another one is pray in the spirit. Okay. Another way to strengthen our faith, to be strong, is to pray in the spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Without the Holy Spirit, we will be what? Weak. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the Holy Spirit will give us power to share the message to others. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In a Review and Herald, June 30, 1896, it says, God depends upon you, the human agent, to fulfill your duty to the best of your ability, and He Himself will give the increase. If human agents would but cooperate with the divine intelligences, thousands of souls would be rescued. The Holy Spirit would give devoted workers glimpses of Jesus that would brace them for every conflict, that would elevate and strengthen them and make them more than conquerors. It's a blessing. Also in Spirit of Prophecy 96, paragraph 2. Look at Martin Luther. He was used by God mightily. And what he did? He said, it says here, the fear of the Lord dwelt in the heart of Luther, enabling him to maintain his steadfastness of purpose and leading him to deep humility before God. He had an abiding sense of his dependence upon divine aid, and he did not fail to begin each day with prayer, while his heart was continually breathing a petition for guidance and support. And what he said? To pray well, he often said, is the better half of study. This is a beautiful statement. So, study and praying, they go hand in hand. When we pray, we talk to God. And when we study, God talks to us. So, it's a two-way communication. That is how we build relationship with Christ, with God. And in Review and Herald, Review and Herald, November 24, 1904, Article A, Paragraph 17, it says here, it is the men of prayer that are men of power. When we pray, God gives us power. In Signs of the Times, November 29, 1883, paragraph 15. Signs of the Times, November 29, 1883, paragraph 15, it says, men of prayer should be men of action. So we pray, okay, we study, and we put it into action. We walk our talk. It's not just a drawing. We have to put it into action. And last, I place here, it says how to be strong is to get rid of weight. What is this weight? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Signs of the Times, March 19, 1902, paragraph 15 and 17. It says, what are these weights? Okay, we know it's sin, but he made this specified. Envy, malice, evil thinking, evil speaking, covetousness. These are weights that the Christian must lay aside if he runs successfully the race of immortality. Any habit or practice that would lead into sin and bring dishonor upon Christ would better be put away, whatever the sacrifice. That which dishonors God cannot benefit the soul. The blessing of heaven cannot attend any man in violating the eternal principles of right. And one sin cherished, if I love that, you call it darling sin. One sin cherished is sufficient to work the degradation of character and to mislead others. So, remove anything that would slow you down in your walk with God so that we can enjoy victory. And my question is, what kind of weights are you carrying today? Do you have worry, anxiety, stress, or fear, doubts? Maybe it's a sinful habit you haven't given up, or one unconfessed sin, or as I said, darling sin earlier, that has built up for years. Or maybe whatever it is, make the decision, make the decision to get rid of it. Not tomorrow, but today. Because it is slowing you down. Get rid of this weight now. Take off anything that is hindering you and run your race to victory. My dear brothers and sisters, we must be strong Christians today forward. By God's grace, to be equipped for the approaching crisis. Because the crisis involves the whole world. Remember the latest encyclical letter of the Pope, Laudate Deum? He published in October 2023. Brother Nick has a blog on that. He calls for establishment of one world government to penalize and persecute those who refuse to unite with his agenda. And he's calling the U.S., who is, we know, is the second beast of Revelation, to follow the lead of the Pope. In fact, the Pope's announcement in December 2023 that climate change is a religious problem shows that we are on the right track. That prophecy is 100% accurate. That Sunday laws will be enforced through the Pope's climate change agenda. There's a lot of interested people reported to us by our workers in the Philippines when people receive our trucks. You know, we have a Tagalog trucks now about climate change, about the mark of the beast, the Ten Commandments. People get so excited. How do you know these things? Well, because we study prophecy. And we have, we're so thankful because we have new visitors who are the result of this handing of tracts, distribution of tracts. They join us, and they wanted more. So again, we are so blessed, we are so privileged that we are part of this movement. That's why, remember, we are just around the corner. The time of trouble is coming. It's coming. And let's thank the Lord. Not only for the good and happy times, but also for the trials, also for the hardships, tests, temptations that we pass through. Because these all help us to be stronger and better prepared for this whole event. There's a purpose. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks." We don't only give thanks for the good, and then we blame him for the bad. No. In everything that happens to our life, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm giving this example again when I say before in a gym when you see the statement, no pain, no gain. This also applies in our spiritual lives. No pain, no gain. So we must strengthen our spiritual muscles because what lies ahead is terrible, dreadful. We are nothing, but through Christ we may become something. Philippians 3:20, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And what is the true measure of a man? What is the worth of a man? Ephesians 4:7 and 13, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." In letter 16, 1902, it says, Christian worth does not depend on brilliant talents, lofty birth, wonderful powers, but on a clean heart, a heart purified and refined that does not exalt self, but by beholding Christ. reflects the long-lost image of divinity. See, each one of us has a talent according to our abilities. Each one of us has one talent. So let's use our one talent wisely and faithfully that it will increase double. And through the grace of Christ, we will all grow to the full measure of Christ. Only those who have done well will hear the words, "Well done," when our Savior returns. In Education 57, paragraph 3. Education. Oh. All right. Education 57, verse 3. What is the greatest the world's greatest need? Okay. It says here, the greatest want of the world is the one of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. In conclusion, despite of the trouble ahead of us, the Lord has provided us help. And now, He is telling us the same word of encouragement He told to Joshua back then. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, this is the last text that I can share. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." With all being said, by the grace of God, by the power of Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I strongly encourage you, be strong Christians, my dear brothers and sisters. I hope and pray that you are blessed today.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the moon. Night's dreary, I know, my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I try and fail to resist temptation strong? When from my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it odd to Him, does He see? Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the night's dreary, I know my Savior cares. Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Let's all kneel in a closing prayer. If you are ready. Dear Father in heaven, yes, You really cares for us. That's why we cannot help ourselves to continue thanking and praising You for helping us to be strong in the faith, to be strong Christians as we walk daily amid this corrupt world and overcome our weakness and temptation that come our way through Your grace. For without You, we are really nothing. Thank You, Father, for the spiritual eyeglass to detect error and sin. Please bless Your church, Holy Father. Bless Your people around the world, that we will all continue to be united in truth and in love for You and for one another. We plead to You, Lord, we humbly ask that please, please shower us today with the large measure of the latter rain You have promised. Please stay with us for the remainder of this holy Sabbath day, and also as we continue meet tonight for the prayer and study meeting. And please forgive us for all the sins we have committed against Thee. We ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.